I would like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of Isaiah. If you'll have your Bible open to Isaiah chapter 58. We'll begin with verse 11. I'm going to bring three messages, not all at one time, thank God, from chapters 58 and 59 of the book of Isaiah. And so I want you at your leisure to read through these chapters and allow the Lord to speak to your heart. We shall deal with the subject of prayer and why we haven't heard from God, the silence of God on that matter, and then this matter of the standard that God raises. The standard God raises affects all other standards in our lives. If you're a Christian and you're a sincere Christian, if the Lord has conquered your heart, there's a reason that you live the way you live, that you do what you do, that you go where you go, you refrain from the things you refrain from. And the reason is the Lord. It's not people, it's not requirements, it's not rules, it's the Lord. We live our lives as unto God and God alone. I really believe my responsibility is to guide the flock to the Lord and then allow the Lord to guide their lives as they yield to Him. I certainly don't want you to be followers of me. I want you to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust that's the heart decision that you've made. If you have your Bible, open to Isaiah chapter 58. The Bible says, beginning with verse 11, "And the Lord God shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to mark this expression, if you would, please. It's found in this 11th verse, as we begin the 11th verse. "The Lord shall guide thee continually." The Lord shall guide thee. That's the subject of this message. The Lord shall guide thee. If I said to you, if someone really died without Christ, there's a real hell from which to save the souls of men. If they died without Christ, the Lord Jesus says they're going to spend eternity in hell without Him, you would say, that's such a tragedy. And it is. Especially because we know the Lord paid our sin debt for us. The most foolish thing a man would ever do is to go on in his own sin and never come to the Lord Jesus Christ and seek forgiveness of his sin and ask Christ to be a Savior. That's the most foolish thing a human being could ever do, because the gospel is the good news that Christ paid our sin debt for us. And we have salvation through his death and burial and resurrection. We have the gospel, the good news, that he died for us, that he paid a debt we owed that he did not owe. We owed it. We could not pay it, but he died for it. And so I want to believe that you've asked God to forgive your sin, and by faith you've trusted the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. That's what I want you to say. That's what I want you to believe. That's what I want you to possess in your life, that you know the Lord, that you truly know the Lord, that you've been born again, that you're His child. You've received the new life that comes from Christ and Christ alone. You've been born again. And if you die without Christ, tragic, so tragic indeed, is that death without Christ. But do you ever stop to think how tragic it is to live without Christ? To live without Him. He made the statement, "I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." How tragic not to have that abundant life. To live on the meager crumbs of the world when you could have all that God intended for you to have. This comes from the God-guided life. Among other things dealt with in this 58th chapter of Isaiah, the blessed life is dealt with here. The blessed life. And the Lord uses this figurative language and these metaphors, these expressions again and again to talk about how His people can be blessed, how you can be blessed, and I can be blessed. Listen to them again, would you please? Verse 11, "And the Lord shall guide thee continually." This isn't a decision you make and say, "God, help me make the right decision in that." No. He wants to guide us continually. "And satisfy thy soul." Do you have soul satisfaction? "To make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden." We've all seen gardens that were dying from lack of water, but we'll be like watered gardens, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. It keeps coming and keeps coming, refreshing. "And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places." Think of that. Those who come from you, who are influenced by you, who come from your loins, as we may speak, would build the old waste places. In other words, the things that have decayed and are gone can be restored by the God-guided, God-blessed life. He goes on to say, "Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations." Often I think of my two great aunts who were devoted Christians. Frankly, they're the only Christians I knew anything about in my lineage, in my father's family. And I'm quite certain that I'm reaping benefits from their prayers and their godly life. Even though they've been in glory for a long time, no doubt they prayed for me as I used to play at their feet in their parlor in the home in Selma, Alabama. And they were praying for me. Many times they put their hands on my head and stopped everything that was going on and asked God to bless me as a child and bless my life. And I believe much of what I'm being blessed with is an answer to their prayers. That's what we're talking about here. That God will raise up the foundations of many generations. "And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach." In other words, you didn't knock a hole in the wall. You fixed it. You repaired it. "You'll be called the restorer of paths to dwell in." Many have lost their way, and God will use you to help them find their way. There is a blessed life. He talks about honoring His day in that blessed life. There is a blessed life from the God-guided life. What a tragedy for any of us to live our lives and not be guided by God. Now, for the simple fact that He mentions it, it means we could live and not have it. I'm not going to ask you to name anyone or to raise any hands, but I'm sure some of you are thinking about people who have wasted their lives. And when you delve into it a little, you think the reason you say they've wasted their lives is because they have not yielded their lives to God, though they profess to be Christians, many of them. They have not yielded their lives to the Lord. And all they could have been and could have had from God's good hand has been missed and wasted. I heard an evangelist say one time, the only good thing that some people accomplish in life is to give us the bad example of what we don't want to become. I'd hate to be one of those, wouldn't you? The God-guided life is a blessed life. I've said for years to you that God uses His Word to speak to us. We read the Bible. That ought to be private, devotional, reading the Bible. Don't rush through the Bible. There are 1,189 chapters in the Bible. God wrote it by books. Get the message of the book. We read the Bible. We search the Word of God for things God speaks to us about. It takes time to search in the Word of God and find God speaking to us. It's all the Word of God, but we search and God speaks. We compare Scripture with Scripture. The Word of God does not contradict itself because we have the same author. The Holy Spirit of God led men to pen these words. And then we memorize Scripture. There ought to be certain Scriptures that are memorized by the child of God. I hope you're doing that. And then, of course, we meditate upon Scripture. I can tell you from my own testimony, I could get very involved into great detail with you how that God has given me a part of a verse, a word from Scripture, or a verse from Scripture that's pulled me out of a pit, that sustained me in a trying hour. To know that God is with me, His Word speaks to me. God's Word speaks to us. He guides us by His Word. He guides us through circumstances. You have to get the comparison of God's Word with those circumstances because you can think everything that's happening to you is the Lord. Well, it isn't of the Lord. It may be allowed by God, but God uses circumstances to speak to us. He guides us. One man's letter, more than 30 years ago, just one man's letter tipped the scale in my heart for me to say yes to God. I was coming as the pastor of this church. And as I pause to think about it now, I don't know what prompted that man except to say, I believe God did. I don't know who gave him those thoughts to pen except I believe God did. Think of that. God speaks to us through circumstances, and then that enlarges a whole world of things as God communicates to us. And then God speaks to us through other Christians. They're His messengers. We're His messengers. Often I've thought, what word of encouragement, what word I can give to somebody, what word of help, what hopeful word I could give to somebody. I have the power of death and life in my tongue. That's what God's Word says. And I want to give as much life as possible. As much life as possible. Are you being guided by the Lord? May I ask you this pointed question? At this moment, are you conscious of the fact that God is guiding you at this moment? I don't believe you can be guided except the Holy Spirit lives in you. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. If you've been born again, the Lord lives in you. And He guides you. He points you. He confirms things to you. I don't believe you can be guided by the Lord unless you've yielded to Him and surrendered to Him. I would never have known what God wanted me to do had not I surrendered my life to the Lord. I happen to be a 17-year-old. I've seen many people do that at 70. I had the good privilege to have people influence me and speak to me about the Word of God. God used circumstantial things in my life to bring me to my knees. And I came as a 17-year-old. I haven't lived the perfect life, but I'm thinking, I'm so grateful that I've had the opportunity to invest all of my adult life for the Lord. I'd regret any of it. I would regret any of it that hadn't been given to Him. And you can give your life to God this moment to guide you. This moment, God will guide you. Let this be a serious thing. Let this be the thing that consumes you, that you want God to guide you continually. I want you to write a few things down from Scripture here. Would you please? Would you write down that the Lord guiding us is essential in our lives? It is essential. We cannot guide ourselves. I want you to write down this verse, would you please, and turn with me to it, to Jeremiah chapter 10. In Jeremiah chapter 10, it is essential. Verse 23, the prophet writes, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. May I read it again? I want you to look at it, please. In Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not within man to be able to guide himself. That the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. So, if we don't possess that innately, as created beings, it is essential that we get our direction from God. And learning how to get our direction from God is most important. It's vital. It's essential. How can God show me what to do? The second church I had the privilege of pastoring was the Calvary Baptist Church in Lenore City, Tennessee. I was trying to find the Lord's way in many things. I made one of the toughest decisions in my life when I was a pastor of that church. I had a friend who was pastor of the First Baptist Church in Lenore City, Tennessee, and he and I were discussing this one day. I decided I'd been saved, baptized, called to preach, and had become one of the fair-haired young preachers among my Southern Baptist friends in that denominational work. And it was a wonderful thing. The friendships I enjoyed so much. But I believed at this moment that God wanted me to become an independent Baptist. Now, that's strange for some people. I've never felt like I was going to throw hand grenades at other people and pick a fight with everybody in the world. As a matter of fact, I was taught early on in the ministry the way to deal with anything you don't disagree with is to restate what you believe. So somebody could pick a fight or they could be going in the wrong direction, and I just want to restate, this is the direction in God's word. This is the direction God's given me. And I've tried to teach you all these years of the church, we want to be at peace as much as possible with all people. We're not known to be contentious and champion prize fighters. That's not our way. Now, some people would want us to be that way, but I don't want it. I never have envied that, never. But I was dealing with this particular man who was a man of God, a graduate of seminary, a man with great knowledge about God's word. And he said to me something I can never forget. He said, how in the world do you think you can even know what God wants you to do? I don't have any idea, he said. I don't have any idea what God wants me to do. I just do the thing I think is right, most appropriate. And I said to him, friend, I really believe that God desires to direct us individually. God desires to speak to us. And it's essential that I know what God wants in this, not just what's best for me. You know, there's a way which seemeth right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death, the Bible says. So we've got to know how to get in tune with God, to yield to the Lord, to know how to pray and speak with God and allow God to speak to us. That's not just for the preacher. That's for the young man or young woman who wants to be married. That's for the young parents who want to do God's will in the life of their child. That's for the young Christian businessman or woman who says, I want God's blessing on my life and on this visit, on this business. We must realize that divine direction is essential We're going through this world like a rocket. Haven't you realized that yet? Like a rocket. My little mother, who had the greatest influence on me, my little mother said, "Oh, son, when you get to be older, it won't be so long a wait for things. It just passes so quickly." She said, "Now you wait an hour and you think, oh, it's never coming. When you get my age," and she wasn't very old at the time, she said, "you wonder where the hour's gone." We all know something about it. Once the moments, the days, the weeks, the months, and years get all crammed together and we look back in retrospect, it seems like just a moment and we're here. I say get serious here, now, this moment about knowing how to get a hold of God and find His direction for your life. Don't live with question marks all the time. Live in exclamation, declaring, "This is what God wants, and I'm going to do it." There's a second thing I want you to write down, and I want to help you with, and that is that the Lord guiding our lives is individual. Individual. Now, we do a lot of things with the group. The church moves forward, and as best we know, we are moving forward with one another. The local church is an assembly of baptized believers who have voluntarily joined themselves together to carry out the Great Commission. In other words, we've identified with Jesus Christ and His plan and purpose in the world. This is where we're headed. But it is an individual thing to know the mind of God, God's direction in your life. Please don't get the idea that you've got to spend the rest of your life just having people tell you every move to make. Now, leaders shouldn't say that, you say. They should just say, "Well, I said it, you do it." I don't lead that way. I have to lead that way because some people just follow. But the greatest thing is for you to know this is the Lord's way. This is what God wants. I was dealing with a young lady recently who had a serious surgery, life-altering surgery. And my conversation with family in that was, it's a decision I can't make. I can give advice and counsel, but it's a decision I can't make. You've got to make your way to God to know what God wants you to do about this. I believe that. I truly believe that. I want you to turn with me to the New Testament book of Philippians just for a moment. The New Testament book of Philippians. This is one of those verses in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13 that's a key that opens up a whole world. It unlocks a door that opens up clarity for the whole world, for you and for me. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, the Bible says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." First, I must ask the obvious question. Would you answer it honestly, sincerely? If the Bible says, "For it is God which worketh in you," then the obvious question is God in you? Is He in you? Is the living God in your soul? The Bible says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the Word of God says in that same chapter, following through with that thought, "And to as many as received Him," to as many as received Him, "to them gave He power to become the sons of God." Have you received Him? Does He live in you? Is He in you? You don't have to live like a stranger all your life, a stranger to God. You can be His child. And His commitment is to you. He doesn't play hide and seek. He doesn't have secrets that He won't tell you about if they're concerning your life. He even tells us in the Psalms there are secrets He reveals to those who meet a certain condition of nearness to Him. So it's an individual thing for God to lead you. There are right things, no doubt. and you know some right things, you just check them off the list. It's right to do this, right to do this, right to do this. But there comes times in life when you have to figure out what is it exactly God wants you to do. What does he have for you? Life is full of decisions, you know that. And the decisions we make are more important than the days we live. The Bible says in Psalm 90, 80 years, if by reason of strength there be 80 years, if there be by reason of strength 80 years in Psalm 90. Yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. You could live very few years and make right decisions, and your life be a grand success in the eyes of God compared to someone who lived many, many years to be an old man or a lovely old lady and made poor decisions. Decisions more important than days. So God said, for it's God that worketh in you, individually, in you, both to will, to desire, and to do of his good pleasure. I hope and pray that God will enable me to help you find your way to the Lord, and that he is real to you, and you know how to talk to him, and he speaks to you. You recognize what he wants for you, and you're already yielded to him to do it. Do you know, I thought when I got older, all the tough decisions would be made. I really did. I married this girl 51 years ago, and hey, hallelujah, it's been glory all the way. I want to go home with you, all right? And now, we've had a wonderful time. My children are raised. My grandchildren are being raised by my children. But do you know, if you've got the false idea that when you grow older, it's just all smooth sailing, no decision has to be made, then you've made the same mistake I made. With each part of life, new challenges arrive. And you need God to stay on the straight and narrow, to make right decisions. You need God desperately for your individual life. You can make a fool out of yourself as a 40-year-old or an 80-year-old. You can make an absolute fool out of yourself as an 80-year-old. And I'm not there, but I've seen some foolish 80-year-olds. As long as we're in this body, walking on this earth, we're going to need God to guide us. It's an individual matter. Then I want you to write down a third thing. Very important, if you turn back with us in the Old Testament. I want you to know this. It's a conditional matter. It doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen just because you want it to happen. You say, well, I thought when I became a Christian, this all naturally happens. No, it doesn't happen that way. Let's land in the Proverbs just for a moment. In Proverbs chapter 3, the Bible says, and verse 6, Proverbs 3, 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Acknowledge him. Give him his way. Yield to him. Give him the glory. Acknowledge him. Then the Bible says that's the condition and he'll direct your paths. Listen to this. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 3, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. The integrity of the upright. If you expect God to guide your life, you need to be a person of integrity. And so many are not people of integrity. Integrity is a life that's solid, no holes. You're not pretending to be something you're not. The Bible says in all of Job's trials, and brother, did he have them, he never gave up his integrity. Because if you don't have integrity, if you don't have integrity, it's not because somebody took it from you. You don't have integrity because you gave it up yourself. You gave it up. You caved in. If I don't have it, I caved in. It's something God's designed that he can't have somebody steal from you. You can be tempted, but you have to make a choice of your own volition whether or not you're going to be true to God and true to the principles you live by. God says he uses integrity to guide us. Let me show you something else. I want you to see this in the Psalms just for a moment. Would you turn, please, to Psalm 32 and verse 8? The Bible says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. God says, I will guide thee with mine eye. He is all on board. You don't have to fight God about it, whether or not God wants to guide you and instruct you. The Bible says God desires to guide you. It's his intent to guide us and to instruct us. Isn't that wonderful? Praise his holy name for it. I want to show you something else too. The Bible says in Psalm 27 and verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. If I were you, I would mark that expression in the 11th verse. Lead me in a plain path. The word of God says in Psalm 25 and verse 9, the meek, the yielded, the surrendered, the meek will he guide in judgment. And the meek will he teach his way. Think of that. There's conditions to this. If you just say, well, I'm just a happy-go-lucky person and I think everything's going to finally come up roses anyway, then you're in for a life train wreck. But I want to help you have, so help me God, I want to help you have the blessed life. Interesting things happen when you stay a long time in a church. Most of them are beautiful. They truly are. I recommend it to any pastor. Now you've got to study and dig. You have to love the people. You have to stay after the Lord and try to love the Lord with all your heart. Because people can drive you crazy. Anybody learn that? But most of those things are wonderful blessings that God gives. But one of the great, great heartaches, and you have to ask God to give you grace, is to watch people destroy their lives. And there's something worse than that. I've watched mamas and daddies sit with their children, beautiful children, children we brag on, children we talk about being such dolls. I've watched mothers and fathers become critical of the Lord and the Lord's people and destroy their own children and their attitude toward the Lord. You've seen it too? I can stop right now. I can stop right now and weep. Why, Pastor? Because it did not have to happen. There's a God in heaven who has designed and desires to guide us, to guide us. But it is conditional, yielding to him. Not proudly pushing our own way through life. The Lord said, I will guide you continually turn your heart to him and let him do what he wants to do. Let's bow in prayer, may we?